Trey, you're slacking on me tonight. Come on, man. All right. Good evening, everybody. How are we doing? Good. Well, as you know, my parents are still out. They'll be back this Sunday. You know my dad, he can't miss too many services. He starts getting a little antsy. So he'll be back on Sunday. But while we're getting ready for that tonight, we have a great speaker in Jason. Yes, you have to accept that. You can't say I'm not a great speaker. It's all God. Listen, God gave you the ability. You have to accept it. All right. Well, anyway, he's going to be preaching for us tonight. It's going to be good. It's going to be powerful. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to get started. Father God, I thank you for the service tonight, Lord. I thank you that your direction will, that it will go in your direction, Lord God, that your presence will be ushered in tonight, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stand your feet with us tonight. faith that heals us only. Earthly mindset that 300 men should defeat thousands upon thousands of army. But God did. So it doesn't matter what battle, what situation you find yourself in. It may look bleak. It may look hopeless. But I got news for you. We serve a God of hope. We serve a God of peace. We serve a healing God. And He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's still on the throne tonight. So let's fight our battles with prayer. This is how I fight my battles. Oh God, we fight with praise. We fight with the word of God. We fight with the name of Jesus. Oh, we fight. We worship your name, God. We bless your name. Holy God, you're worthy, Lord. God, we seek your face tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way in this house. Have your way in the atmosphere. Fill these places and fill.
EXO Marriage Conference on the 14th and the 15th of February. If you're going on Friday, make sure your name gets wrote down because there's a dinner at 6:30. So, like I said before, especially since he's here again, if you don't want to spend a whole lot of money on your wife for the marriage for Valentine's Day, you can always bring her here. You get free food and then you get a time where you get to learn a few things. So, Steve, you know I got to pick on you. Got to have fun with it. But, that's 6:30 is the dinner. 8 is when it starts. And then the 15th, it'll be at 10 a.m. You won't have to pay anything, but like I said, just make sure you get your name down if you're going to be here Friday so you can eat. Jason, we are allowed to go. So, all right. And then that Sunday after the marriage conference is the teen night. So I get all the teens at 5:30 that Sunday night. If you got a teenager and you know that they need some Jesus and they need some people around them that also know and love God, bring them here. Because we got a couple kids that I know for a fact right now will be a good influence on them. Be a good learning experience for them too. But no, it'll be fun. So that's all the announcements I have right now. So offering. I gotcha. Actually, this week, because they do the 21 days of prayer over in Bacchus this past few weeks, so I've been going to that. And this week, God had me thinking about necessities in life and wants in life. And he had me really sit down and think about, like, what do you want in life? What are goals? What are things that you really wanted? And if you know how my parents and my mom used to be, that's kind of how I've slowly been up until recently, is where, you know, I don't need it, so I'm not really gonna have a want for it. But then God took me to 2 Peter 1:3, where it said, well, I'll read 2 as well, but it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." And so I was kind of sitting back and I was thinking about how it says that God's already given us everything that we need. Like, it's all there. In times that we truly need it, we just have to seek him. We just have to look at it. And then God was talking, well, I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's like, so if you're living for me, if you're serving me, if you're honoring me and everything that needs honored, what do you want? And so I started to have to make a list of, like, things like what kind of house I want, what kind of car that I want, what kind of stuff I want to see in my bank account. And so I made this list, and God really got on my heart. He said, okay, now what are you going to give for that? So there are things that obviously financially I'm going to have to give, but there are also other things like time and attention to certain things that God wants me to give. But with offering and with tithe and offering, obviously we give our tenth, but that extra, God doesn't necessarily expect it. But if you really want God to move in your life, he tells you, give. So I just wanted to put that in your heart. That's what he put on my heart this week. So, as I get ready to pray, I'll let the kids go to Children's Church. Sorry, Jared. I didn't forget you. But, all right, so as we get ready to pray and with the buckets will be brought out, Father God, I just thank you for everybody here, Lord God, everybody that made it. I thank you for the offering that's going to be brought, Lord God. I thank you that you bless it, you multiply it. And you say, bring all your tithes in the storehouse, Lord God. And I thank you that as we bring, we do it cheerfully. And that as we go, Lord God, that our lives will just be multiplied for it. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jason Kearns, and he's got a word for us. I believe it's a now word, so it'll be good.
Thank you, Phil. I'm honored. I got to start off with that because you guys don't understand the honor that it is to stand up here. And it's not just because of this pulpit, and it's not just because of who God is for us. It's because of who you guys are also. It's an honor to be here before you guys. It really is. And as Linda was singing this evening, Lord spoke to me and he asked me, he said, what do you want? I want you guys to answer this for yourselves tonight. What do you want? Do you want to fight or do you want to fold? Do you want to give up now or do you want to keep pushing forward? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've come through some battles, and I've got to this point. I'm not done fighting. I'm not ready to fold. And she gave great example of Gideon. Man, I was blown away when she threw Gideon out there. It's a prime example of who we are. We are part of Gideon's 300. Well, we're part of Pastor Phil's 300. And the truth of it is we're only mightier because we are few. I thank God for that. I truly do. But that's just the start. I want to get onto a topic tonight about your first love. And if we can go to Revelation chapter 2 real quick, I'm going to read some harshness to you. Some of this is about the church of Ephesus, the Ephesians. I apologize for my cough. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. That's a mouthful. That's powerful, though. I want to go back a little bit. The same chapter, I just want to write up, obviously, same chapter. He says, I know thy works. He's talking about how good they've done, how great they've accomplished, you know, how they've noted themselves to be good Christians, good apostles of Christ. They've stood the test of time. They fought to the point where they're at right now. It says they've even found some of them to be liars. Some of the apostles, they tried them and they said, you're liars, you're not of Christ, go. I mean, they stood boldly and cast people out of their presence because of the falseness that they lived in. Now, all this stuff they did, and it was so grandiose, yet they still forgot their first love. And that tells me something. It's not necessarily bad. It's just a reminder to find your first love. What does he say? He says, if you don't, though, he says, I'm going to remove your candlestick. So we need to focus a little bit as to what causes us to forget our first love or to walk away from our first love. And does anybody here know what their first love was, what it is that he's referring to? It's when you first received Christ, that first instinct of zeal, that love, that fire, that passion, that desire to, I didn't do this. I did not break this. I just want that out there. That desire, though, to do everything God's calling you to do, that obedience. Man, that was great, right? That fire is so great and alive inside of you that it just burns so dangerous. Because all you want to do is whatever you can for the Lord. And that's a good fire, man. That felt good. That felt good to me. So some of the things that quench that fire, though, I mean, I want to look at some of them. We have sin. Obviously, we fall back into a sin nature. Then, you know, we're going to fall a little lighter in our flames. We have doubt. You know, again, I think everybody has a doubt every now and again. Is this the right walk I'm doing? Is this the right thing I'm saying? You know, we have shame of failure, shame of not doing something that we're called to do. Things that just eat at us because we allow it to. We allow it to eat at us. So it causes that shame and that guilt and that doubt and that sin to live in us. But what about exhaustion? Man, I get exhausted. I especially get exhausted at work. Because I'm running around frantic, you know, making sure everything's in order. Everything is perfect the way it's supposed to be. Because that's how I'm made. I'm made to control chaos. And I love it. I absolutely do. I love my job. I love what I do. I love controlling chaos for what brief moment I can. And the fact is the more you do it, the more it consumes you. You become exhausted. And the same is as a Christian. Man, we control chaos on a daily basis, be it in our own lives or in the lives of the people that we love and care about, through our prayers, through our fasting, through our reading. We become exhausted for them. And it's a good exhaustion. It really is. I'm not trying to take away from this exhaustion. I'm just trying to let you know that this exhaustion can cause you to turn from your first love. You know, not purposefully. We do it because we're so exhausted and we're tired. I mean, Linda and Jared got a chance here recently to go and experience some relaxation at, down in Florida, you know, and Jared was at work doing it, but Linda got to enjoy some peace by the pool. And she'll tell you, that relieves some exhaustion. I mean, think of our pastors right now. Our pastors got to enjoy some time in Aruba on the beach, enjoying the sunshine and the, I would say mermaids, but we know they're not real. And dolphins are a myth too. Oh wait, no, dolphins are real. They're just mean. Don't trust them. But my point is they get to get some relief right now from this exhaustion that they do. I mean, they do a fantastic job for us. Amen. They work themselves tirelessly for the things that we need. Man, I mean, we don't see the half of what they do for our church, for the building, for us and as the church body. We don't see it. And that's exhaustion. That can cause somebody to turn and lose the sight of their first love. I'm not saying that they have. No, I will not hold that to me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, they still have a fire and a passion. They still have a love like no other for the things of God and the journey that he's got them on. So what's that mean? That means that we can be exhausted. We can have doubt. We can have some sin that we don't hold in our lives. It's just some failures, I'll put it that way. We can have all these things that can cause us to lose sight of our first love, but we can still look back at our first love. There's still hope for it. We're not lost in the fact that we've lost sight. Again, I apologize for my voice and for all my coughing that I might do. I'm just coming off of the man flu. And for those of us that are men, we know that it's very real. And those of you that are women, just feel some sympathy, please. It's okay. I brought it on myself with that joke, honestly. Okay, so next thing that he tells us, though, is to repent. So I'm going to take us to Acts, the book of Acts. I'm going to go to the second chapter. I'm going to start at the 38th verse. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I said all that just to remind us that we need to repent. We don't need to be rebaptized, but we need to repent and accept the remission of our sins that we can be endued again with that power, that freshness of the Holy Spirit. And it's not a new outpouring that comes on us, but it's a revival in our own spirits that helps us get to that next point. And then I'm going to take you right to the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when your times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Again, repentance. What it does is it takes us out of that mode of, oh man, I messed up. Oh, I'm so ashamed. I can't look on these people. I don't want them to look on me. I've done something horrible. I can't accomplish these things. I can't keep going like this. It takes us out of that because it puts our trust where it belongs. Our trust belongs in God. Our trust belongs and our faith belongs in Christ. You know, it was said recently by Carol May, says, if I can trust him for my salvation, which is the biggest thing we can trust him for, I could trust him for the littlest things. How can we not? He is the one that took care of the grandiose things in our lives. So let's trust him for that little thing, that repentance that says, God, I know I've messed up. Please take me back to where I need to be. Show me the first works again. Show me how to take care of these things and go forward from here. Don't live in it. Don't let it dwell in you, and don't dwell in it. Because the more it does, the more it's going to fester at you, the more it's going to eat at you, the more you're going to lose sight of everything that you're supposed to be looking at, which is Christ himself. So our first works. I've made a little list here of our first works. Now, if I've missed any of our first works, I apologize. If I've added things that you don't feel are our first works, I apologize. Just know that my first works may be different from yours. When you got saved, the Lord made it took you in a whole different way than he did me. He took me in a place where, whew, man, I just wanted everybody to come with me. I wanted them to come and know that, hey, there's hope out here. This is so much better. There's so much joy. I don't have to do those things that we were having fun doing. Let's go try this out instead. That's where I was. So what I wrote down for first works, though, is read, pray, fast, have a vision, attendance, and then actively seeking God. So the first one I want to focus on is the read. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says that if we study to show ourselves approved, rightfully dividing the word of truth. That's a commandment. That's right there, says it all. Study to show yourself approved. What are we being approved for? Being approved for the works of God, being approved of this for the salvation of God. I mean, I'm not saying we need to study for our salvation, but as you're saved, you should study to know why you're saved. You should study to know why God called you out of the life that you once lived. So to study, though, that shows you everything that encompasses what the Bible is for you, what God intended it for. He says it'll be a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. And that's what it'll do. It'll guide every step if you let it. It'll show you every open door if you allow it to. If you don't want it to, it's not going to. Plain and simple. It's a choice that we all have to make. Right back to that. You want to fight or you want to fold? Your call. Everything that in our life is going to fall on that at this point. Are you going to fight or you're going to fold? Either you're going to fight and you're going to say, okay, I'm going to study. I'm going to show myself approved. I'm going to do what God's calling me for. Or you're going to say, I can't do it. God, I can't do it. Well, sometimes surrendering is okay too. Especially if you're surrendering to Christ. Only if you're surrendering to Christ. Don't be the French. Sorry. I didn't say that loud enough, did I? So, our next one is pray. Communication with God. We'll go to James 5:16. Quick joke while I'm turning there. Why does the Bible say that only men are allowed to make coffee? It says it in Hebrews. Okay. All right, so I'm going to go to James 5:16. For those of you that know the layout of the Bible, that's because I went right past Hebrews to get to James. So confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So not only are we supposed to be praying for ourselves. Sorry. We're supposed to be praying for each other. We're supposed to hold one another up in the prayer that we have, so much so that our own problems seem to fade away. Because our focus is now helping the ones around us that we care and love about. Care about and love. Yeah. So anyway, then we confess our faults one to another. Our faults, not our sins. We don't need to confess our sins to each other. We confess our sins to God alone. We don't need the little door between us that we slide open. All we need to do is confess that to God. But, I'm going to tell you, I'm struggling. There's times I need Nate to give me a pick-me-up, or Chad, or even Roger. You know, there's times, though, that everybody's got something, a word of encouragement for each other. And that's what we're here for. That's part of our fellowship. That's part of our brotherhood together, or our sisterhood, is that we're here for one another. But the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent. Man, that's being on it all the time. That's like, I'm doing this. I don't care. I've got to have it done. It's got to be finished. Steve knows this, but when it comes to his house, he's fervent about getting things done. He wants it done as quickly as possible. It doesn't always happen, but he wants it done as quickly as possible. You know, and who's a righteous man? Anybody have an answer for me on that? Who is a righteous man? Yeah, that's true. Thank you. Right standing with God. If you're in right standing with God, then you're a righteous man or woman. So what makes you in right standing with God is accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Simple as that. Plain as it could be, as the nose on my face, just to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a big nose, trust me. I know how plain it is. So we've got reading, praying, fasting. Man, I hate this one. I love to eat. I do. But even more so, I don't like to be forced to not do something. Does that make sense? It's when you're saying, I want to fast, you're forcing your body to not get into something that you want. You're forcing your body to say, no, I'm not going to eat that sugar. No, I'm not going to eat those meats. I'm going to be a vegetarian. Or I'm going to just eat the pulse like Daniel did. You know, you're forcing yourself to do that. But the reason you're forcing yourself to do it is because you want to become closer to God. It's a work, man. It's something that you're doing because you want to grow closer to who God is in you and who he can be in you. So it's a necessary evil, I guess is a good way to put it. And vision. We have to have a vision. The Bible plainly tells us that the people that, if my people lack vision, they'll perish. You know, I don't know, man. That seems pretty important to me. It seems pretty important to have a clear understanding as to what you want in your life. But what you want God to do in your life, as Philip was saying, what you want out of God means that you're going to have to put something into it. Again, though, that creates that connection. That keeps us on fire. That keeps us focused. That keeps us on the right track, that third rail that's going to keep us lit up to keep going toward the things that God has in store for us. Attendance. This one is a big deal because we're not to fail to assemble ourselves together as we see the days come, to see the days approach. We're supposed to come together, and that's, again, that's for our brothership, that's for our fellowship, that's for us to grow closer together so that we can grow closer to God. Because you'll have a word for me that'll encourage me through my next battle. And I have a word for Steve for his next battle. And Steve's got a word for Caleb for his next battle. You know, these things, it's cyclical. You know, we thrive on the life lessons from one another. We thrive on the level that I just went through. You know, I've heard it said several times, new level, new devil. And truth of it is, it's probably the same devil. It's just he's becoming more aware of your keenness of how to fight him. So now you got to learn to fight again. Again, I want to go back to that. What do you want to do tonight? Do you want to fight or do you want to fold? Man, you want to push forward or do you want to let it go? I ain't no Disney Cinderella princess, let it go kind of person. So I'm like... You can laugh, it's all right. I laugh at myself a lot. But no. So next one, though, is actively seeking God. I want to go to Jeremiah 29:13. It's in the Jeremiah section of the Bible. And it starts off, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Man, that's a bold statement. "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." So we can't just have a little bit out there. Like, I want this part of my passion and my desire to be for God. But I want this part of my passion and my desire to be for the world. Can't be like that. That's the thing. Those little things like that is what helped you to lose sight of your first love and to begin with. That desire that came back in, that crept in unaware. It's the one that came in and said, "Hey, look at this instead. You know, let's go hang out over here instead." We don't want that. We want to push past those things. We want to get to that point where this is no longer part of our life. This is not who we are. Instead, we want to say that with all boldness and all fullness, I am searching God. I'm seeking out who he is and where he can be found. I'm seeking out who he is for my life, that I can live for him the best I can and accomplish all that he's put in my heart and my life to do. Sometimes it's as simple and as easy as that. Sometimes it takes the fasting, the prayer, the getting down on your knees every single night looking for what God has to say for you. Sometimes he'll tell you in a dream. Sometimes he'll whisper it in your ear. Sometimes it'll take you 10 years to find out what God's saying about an issue and a situation. Stand bold on who he is. Because if you're seeking him with all your heart, you're looking for him with every part and every ounce of who you are, you're looking on that fire and that love and that flame that he has for you, then you're going to find what he has in store. And I promise you, it's yes and amen. Every bit of it is yes and amen. Even if it's something that we desire with our flesh, you know, that stuff's going to change. Our desire is no longer going to be after the flesh, because our heart's no longer going to be fleshy. It's going to be spiritually. And as it's spiritual, it's going to be looking at the things that God's saying, "I want this for you instead." And that's when we're saying, "That's what I want instead. I don't want this fleshly desire. I don't want those things that cause me pain and hurt and sorrow and anguish. Instead, I want the things that God says will make me blessed, highly favored, anointed, the head and not the tail." Man, we're talking about a God that calls us beloved. You're talking about somebody that he doesn't look at you any other way than to say beloved. You know, that's pretty mighty to say that he wants us so much to call us beloved. So, it was asked of me earlier, not to be long-winded. I don't have a lot of wind. Anyway, I do want to point out that most of the times, I was making a note here, said sometimes we're where we're supposed to be. And I thought about it. Most of the time, we're where we're supposed to be. And the reason I want to point this out is I had a vision years ago, and it's not a weird vision. It's those of you that have watched or played Mortal Kombat before know the towers that I'm talking about. They're little pillars. Well, I was meditating on the Lord one night before I went to bed, as I was at this retreat called the Emmaus Walk. And they put us on silence, which is a great experience. If you ever get put on silence, take advantage of it. Shut your mouth and just listen. They said, think on three things: where you're at, where you want to be, and where God has you. So I'm thinking on these three things, and I see this pillar rise up. And it's not a large pillar, but it rises up, and I was like, okay, that's where I'm at. And then I saw another pillar rise up, and it matched the first one. It's all right, that's where I want to be. And then I saw the last pillar rise up, and it matched the other two, and it's where God wants me. The truth of it is God wants you right where you're at. He doesn't want anything special. He doesn't want anything sugar-coated. He wants you raw. He wants you real, and he wants you to be active in everything you do for him. Amen. Seek him actively. There's two different ways that we look at seeking him. We're going to seek him boldly, or we're going to seek him passively. To seek him boldly is to go out and to do the works that he puts in front of you no matter what. No holds barred. Straight up Hulk Hogan 90 style. Or there's the passive way. It's to sit on your potato chair, watch your potato movie, eating your potato chips. You know, that's it, right there. And again, it falls right to here. Do you want to fight or do you want to fold? Do you want everything to fall on somebody else doing it for you? Maybe somebody will come along with a revelation of who I'm supposed to be. Or maybe while I'm digging out the scriptures and I'm finding who God says I am, that's where I'm going to find who I am. Not where somebody's going to come out and say, hey, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's it in a nutshell tonight, guys. To find your first love, you've got to be active. You've got to be bold about being active. You can't just sit around and expect that it's going to come right back to you. Can't sit around and expect that, well, one day I'm going to get there again. One day I'm going to have that zeal and that fire. I just wish God would hurry with it. How's he going to hurry with it when you're not helping him to give you any open vessel for it? Give him an open vessel. I guarantee you with an open vessel, he'll fill it up. He'll say, here, Lord, I've got this offering. And he'll say, here. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or believe. Man, isn't that great? So in conclusion, guys, seek after what God has for you. Pray, fast, read, write your vision and make it plain. Attend church, guys. I know there's days that we can't be here. There's days I can't be here, and it drives me nuts. Either I'm sick or I gotta work. But there's days where sometimes when we're losing sight of that vision, that passion, that love, that fire, that first love, where sitting in a boat seems better. Or going out fishing on the dock seems like a better idea. You know, I'm not trying to knock somebody for a vacation either. Like I said, we need that. We're exhausted. If we're exhausted, we need rest. What did Jesus say? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and rest. I will give you, come all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Plain and simple. He knows that we're going to become weary. He knows that we're going to become dog tired. Point is, guys, is that if we have it in our ability to be here, we should be here. And not only that, last but not least, certainly not by any means, when it comes down to our actively seeking God, take a bold role in this. Don't sit passively. Become Hulk Hogan if you got to. If you need a reference verse version of that, I'll give it to you later, Caleb. You're a little young. But my point is be bold about it, guys. Don't expect that it's going to come when, you know, you're not doing anything about it. I want a new walk. I want a new talk. I want a different level with my God. So I'm gonna do what it takes to get it. I'm going to read. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do it all. By the grace of God, I'll get to that next level. And by the grace of God, I'll beat that next devil. Thank you, guys. Precious Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for everything you've given me tonight. I thank you, Father, for the word going forward. Lord, let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray for the hearts and souls of the men and women that have heard me tonight, that they would find peace in their searching of you, God. pray for the health of those that are sick. I pray for healing all over their bodies, God, from head to toe. I thank you for your works, God, and I thank you for your miracles. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.